Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen talk radio show. My guest for this morning is Dr. Meg Blackburn-Losey. She is a master healer and a medical intuitive. Dr. Meg and I will be discussing her latest book titled The Children of Now, Evolution. It is the follow-up to her best-selling book, The Children of Now. Good morning, Dr. Mack. Welcome to From My Mom's Kitchen Talk Radio. How
hey,
are you doing
Johnny,
this morning?
Thanks. I'm good. Thanks for having me on, and thanks to all of you who are listening now and maybe even later.
Fantastic. It is a pleasure to have you on the air with me. The Children of Now, Evolution is a fascinating read. The book is very informative and compelling. It makes me look within to see if I have some of the traits you mentioned in the book. Congratulations for that.
Thank you. I call us the bridge generation. We're the, you know, people like you and me, we're the ones that got curious about the things we felt and knew that were kind of different than what normal is considered to be. And because so many of us did that and do that, the children of today, many of them are being born with those abilities intact.
Very interesting. One of the things that I've encountered growing up or even as an adult, I mean, being a man, sometimes you don't want to say certain things because they say, well, that's not macho. And so as such, you kind of keep it within yourself, especially like for men who tend to have an extra sense of sensitivity of things. And of course, that is the feminine side of you, per se, versus the manly side of you.
True. And the honest answer to that is that we must achieve balance of both of those parts of ourself, our feminine and our masculine. We all have it. Mm-hmm. And the best way to be with ourselves is to balance those parts. Being intuitive or using other senses besides the normal five has nothing to do with what sex we are or what color we are or what we look like. It's a natural part of who we are. So all we're doing is evolving back to what we were at one time when we remembered that.
Very interesting. Let us start by getting to know you a little better. Please give us a quick walkthrough of your life from childhood to the present moment.
That's a long story, Johnny.
We have an hour long.
I know. Well, basically, you know, I've always been intuitive, and I didn't realize that that wasn't normal for everyone. I didn't realize for a long time that people didn't see the world the way that I did. And through my childhood, was very frustrated and often hurt very deeply about how people could treat each other the way they did or what they would say or, you know, those kind of things. And I saw things. I had visions, and I knew things. And I tried to talk to people about it, and they said, oh, no, that's not real. You can't do that. Only saints and holy people can do that. You know, I had a Catholic upbringing. I am recovered, by the way. But so for a long time, I didn't pursue that part of me openly. Internally, I was curious. But back then, there wasn't really anything available. Nobody would talk about it because it seemed to have so many religious connotations and belief systems around it, none of which were true. But I didn't know that. I was just a kid. And as I got older and got into my 20s, I found someone who was able to tell me that I was actually normal and that my abilities could expand if I worked with it. And that was a really great kind of a launch pad for me, and it just kind of gave me permission to be who I am. And then a little later, another 10 years or so later, I had what we call a dark night of the soul. Everything that I created in my life fell apart within about 2 weeks. Work, love, life, everything. And I found myself sleeping on my friend's couch because I didn't feel safe to go home. And I woke up one morning and I was just crying my heart out, and I didn't understand what was going on. I didn't remember dreaming, and I now know that I was just releasing an immense amount of emotion. But as I laid there, I said, okay, self, we have to really, I always use the royal we. We have to look at this and figure out, what's my part of this? It can't be everyone's fault in every direction. And so I started to look at things. And the first thing I realized was I didn't like me very much. I didn't like what I had become. And I did that because I was trying to live by what I thought everyone else wanted me to be. I was trying to fit everybody's expectations, their standards, their value systems. And all I was really doing was looking for approval. And I realized that I didn't know how to do that for myself. And I also realized I didn't even know what I wanted. So how I went about changing that, first of all, was learning how to tell myself the truth. I stopped glossing things over. I stopped lying to myself. When somebody said something that hurt me, instead of saying, oh, they didn't really mean it, you know, or whatever, I owned it. And pretty soon, there was nothing left to defend. Mm-hmm. I got really intimately aware of myself on the inside. And as I did that, my intuitive nature that had always been there started to blossom greatly. I call it my series of cosmic 2x4s, because what happened is, all of a sudden, my body became sensitive to energy. My awareness started to expand, and I started to see things, energy and other things, but my body was filling up with energy, and I didn't know how to push the go button to release it. I honestly felt like I was going to explode. So every morning I started moving. I put on music that didn't have any words or anything, and I just followed the energy. I got it between my hands, and I started moving, and I used to laugh and say, this is my own brand of Tai Chi. But I still wasn't accomplishing what I wanted. I did. Every time I did it, I was able to see more, understand more, know more, access greater parts of my awareness. And I kept saying, somebody show me what to do. And every morning, I was so beaten down. I was so humble, and I was so passionate about what was happening. And I said, somebody show me what to do. And one day there was somebody with me, and he was beautiful and shining and the most perfect being I've ever seen ever. And he started to move like I had been moving, only he did it a little differently, and he would stop, and he showed me how When you're working with energy, if you get to a certain place, then that makes certain changes. And he taught me all about sacred geometry and transmutation of energies, and how to change energies into shapes and forms and colors. And there were a series of them, and these guys, and they taught me all about creation, how it's put together, how to read a body, how to change the energy, and what I realized later was they were actually showing me a form of healing work that's outside of the physical world. And it kind of went from there, and it still continues, and it grows all the time. And I think I learned so much, Johnny, because I never said who, what, where, when, how, or why. I just kept saying, show me. If I didn't understand, I said, show me. So that I didn't interfere with the natural process that was going on. And I really feel like I got the greatest benefit because I didn't get in the way.
You're talking about these perhaps guides, your guides here?
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about physical
persons,
correct?
Yeah, they were guides.
Right, okay, good.
Yeah,
I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah, they were showing up in my living room. Uh-huh.
Wow. That's very interesting. I always have this sort of curiosity that I really want to learn things, but I've not truly experienced that, and I would love to experience that. Is it too late? I mean, is there a certain age group or whatever that may be to learn about
No, there's it's never too late, and it's never too early. And it happens when we make ourselves available. You know, one of the things that happened the first day that first master showed up for me, that's what everybody called them, not me. I never even asked their names because they were just so perfect. But the first time the one showed up, I jumped back because it startled me.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't see it anymore. And I realized as I told this story 3 years later that he hadn't gone anywhere. I had. As soon as I got mental, as soon as I got emotional, I couldn't see him. But when I balanced in myself and got back into that space that I had been in when I saw him, there he was. And he hadn't gone anywhere. I had.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're outside of this reality. There is no time or space, and there's nothing measurable. And so he just picked up right where I left him, because he didn't have a sense of my time. And that was a really valuable thing to realize, is that, how vast reality can be when only we let ourselves do that. And the way that we do that is twofold. First, we need to slow our brains down. Our brains are electrical. And when we're thinking a lot, all those neurons in our brain are firing. And as they do, they create an electrical field, which blocks our consciousness, which is a finer kind of energy. It's electromagnetic in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And it can't get past that electrical field because we're too busy distracting ourselves. So when we get really aware of ourselves and truthful with ourselves to where there's nothing to defend, which releases all of the tension in our being, then our consciousness is available all the time. You know, I call it being online 24/7. And we can be and still maintain a normal human life, and we can embody that consciousness and live it simultaneously with everyday life. It's just, it takes practice. It's not something that you learn in a workshop or a book, both of which I do to help people. But the truth is, it's all about self-awareness and realizing what we're doing that's sidelining ourselves and quieting our minds.
And the ability to obviously be vulnerable, the ability to allow yourself to be vulnerable in a way.
Yes. What the master said to me one day was, go to the world of your vulnerabilities. And I didn't quite understand what they meant at the time until I had lived it a while. And when we have addressed everything of ours that we're afraid of, you know, not being loved, being judged, being abandoned,
right,
rejected, all of those things, when we are aware of those and we embrace those things and give ourselves what we need, then there's nowhere that anybody can hurt us. And that's why it becomes so easy to relax, because we got it. You know, there's a lot that runs our show behind the scenes, I like to say, that is subconscious, and it's based on our past experience. So when we reckon with those, we complete those, then there's nothing stopping us from whatever's next.
Very interesting. Are these life epiphanies that led you to the study of human consciousness, or are you having something else that you've encountered in life that propelled you to your current vocation?
Well, you know, it was happening to me, and I thought, what am I to do with this? And I realized, first of all, I didn't even know how to communicate what I was experiencing in otherworldly manners, you know. And so I went on a quest to communicate with people. If I ask you to imagine a palm tree, how do you get there? And what I realized was that not everybody, this is when I finally realized how different I was, or how differently my inner workings are. And I realized that some people felt it, some people saw it in a picture, some people saw a moving picture on a beach with the wind blowing and they could smell the sand. You know, somebody else said, well, they had to work to how they got to the palm tree. It was a process for them. And I realized that, wow, people are seeing things from such different perspectives. It's no wonder that we don't all get there. And so what I did with all of that, instead of believing that I'm somebody special or different, I started to realize that we all have it. We just don't all know how to get there. And so my quest became to understand that piece. And, of course, my guides had showed me how it all works.
Mm-hmm.
So the next logical thing for me was to share what I have and find ways to communicate it in human words, and that's when I started writing the books. And this is number 9, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what I've done and what I find is really interesting as I write the books, and I actually sometimes process the information myself as I'm writing. Once I've shared that, then I get a whole new batch. So it's kind of like it's a fluid nature, and it isn't any one particular thing. You know, I see a lot of people that hear about different experiences, and they want to go there, and they try, and they try, and they try. And the reason they're not getting there, first of all, is because they're trying. If you're trying, you have an expectation. And an expectation makes it look only a certain way, and therefore it's limited to that. But instead, I teach people to do just the opposite. Relax. Don't have any expectations. And know that no experience will ever repeat itself, because that is the nature of creation. It's fluid in nature, and it's constantly evolving. And so that experience was of a now, and there's only ever this now, and that's where everything happens. What's been has been, and what has not yet been is either imagined or speculated. So if we can really stay present, that's where we can tap in the most deeply and be the most aware of everything in and around us.
Very interesting. How about the concept of people telling you, well, you have to manifest what you want, and you will get it. So in a way, you are having this sort of a rifle shot mentality or vision to whereby that's what I want, and that's the only way I can get it, versus what my understanding is. You're saying let the energy flow itself, do not have a preconceived expectation of things.
Exactly. Here's why. We are an achievement-driven world. And
right.
We have been taught how to imagine an outcome, and then we're taught it's all about the process. We have to do these certain things to get there.
Right.
But what if? What if? Let me stretch everyone's reality for a minute. What if we imagine something that we really desire or need, and we see ourselves as we will be feeling in the moment that we are there? Let that go. Put our heart behind it and let it go. It's like throwing a ball. And instead of concentrating on the process, know that because we have imagined ourselves there, we have already created that reality. And we and that reality will meet at an intersection in time when we stay present and we follow the signs that get there.
Mm-hmm.
It's really that easy. I'll tell you a funny story on myself. Because I'm human, too, and I forget sometimes about all of this stuff when life gets in the way, you know? And
right.
One Saturday morning, our washing machine broke, and my husband was busy, and I didn't get a chance to tell him. And we were on our way into Lowe's, and I said, oh, by the way, our washing machine broke this morning. We need a new one. And there was a certain one that I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't say anything. He knows me. He didn't say anything. And we were talking, and I was very busy and keeping a list in my mind of what we went to get. And I was talking and talking, and I turned around, and my husband was gone. I had looked in the clearance. I didn't have a lot of money. I had been very sick for a while. And I had looked in the clearance aisle, and it wasn't there, so I just kept on going. And I turned around, and my husband was gone. And I started backtracking, and I found him in the appliance department going up and down the aisles. And and I said, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, you said we needed that washing machine. I knew it had to be here. Here it is. I started laughing. And I walked over, and it was one that somebody had ordered and sent back. They decided they wanted a different color. There was nothing wrong with it. It was just out of the box. And I got a brand new $1,000 washing machine for $400 and free delivery that day.
Mm-hmm.
And had my husband not had the faith in my abilities, we would have missed it. I would have missed it. And so, you know, it's just about remembering that we're that powerful. And I knew exactly what I wanted, and I had already imagined that at some point. And then my washing machine broke the very day that one became available that I could afford at the time. So this was quite some time ago, but it's a great example of how we forget and how we miss opportunities because we're so far ahead of ourselves. In that case, I was headed to the aisles where the items we had gone for were. And I forgot. So yeah, I can tell you several stories like that. But the point is, it's just about remembering that we're capable of that. We're very powerful. And people work too hard at manifesting. They repeat things constantly. They hold on to it. And then their energy field becomes tight with that holding on. And then the outcome becomes quite limited.
I see. What I understand is, if you want to manifest and hold something within yourself or whatever the process is actually manifest and hold on to the journey, the process itself, not to the object.
You don't the hold object, on to anything.
You don't hold on to anything. Okay.
No. You let it go. You send it out with, I'll give you another
intentions.
Example.
With intentions.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Not even that. You've already done it. Why keep doing it? Creation is constantly evolving to bring us back exactly what we put out.
Okay.
And every time we put that out in a repetition, we change the message, and creation gets confused, and so it might or might not happen. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll give you another really good example. During that time that I had been sick, I knew I wasn't driving for a long time, and I knew somebody that really needed a car badly, and I gave my car to somebody. And then there came a time where I was well and I was really going stir crazy and I needed a car, but I was just starting to work again and didn't have much to work with. And I imagined how I would feel in my new car, and I let it go. And then I got online and I started looking for sales ads.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lexus site came up and I said, seriously, this is what I wanted, but really, I don't have money to pay attention. And so my husband had told me that weekend he would take me to the car dealers and we could look around and see if I could find something I could afford. And so he pulls the car around and I get in and he says, okay, where to? And I said, take me to the Lexus dealer.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of looked at me. I said, just do it. This was, I think, early a Saturday morning, and we went to this dealership, and I walked right up to the salesman, and I said, I will not be your biggest sale today, but what I can tell you is that I will be a loyal customer, and if you help me get what I need today, I will be back in 1 year's time to buy what I want, which is a new Lexus. And he looked at me like I'd lost my mind. And it turned out that he had a car that in that area, the car dealers would run an ad to bait people to come in. They'd put something really low just to get people in the door. And I happened to find that car. It was 1 year old. It had everything my old car that I missed so much had. It was fully decked out, all leather, every bell and whistle. And I got it for practically nothing, comparatively speaking, and it was all because I believed. I followed the signs.
Right.
I put the intention out. I said, okay, where is it? It's at the Lexus dealer. I've got to be out of my mind. But it was, and I did, and a year later, I did get that Lexus. So it's just about following the signs. They're not always that. They're not flashing neon, you know, sometimes it's like you run across something like I did online and I'm like, seriously? Okay. You know, you have to let go of those expectations.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So coming back to the children of now, who are these children?
They're amazing. All kids are amazing. And what's happening, and I mentioned it early on in the show, that because of us, people that stepped into our abilities, our natural being, we set the stage for these children to be born with this as innate part of their systems. And they have very much higher harmonics than we do. Everyone is put together with a set of harmonics. It's kind of like a symphony that's all us. And there's not another one like it in all of creation. Each of us has a series of sounds that is ours and energy that is not duplicated anywhere. Well, our energy in the previous generations was denser. The children that are being born now have very high frequency fields, which contribute to making them what I call sentient. They don't think like we do. They have compartmentalized minds that can assimilate information on the run. They don't think logically. They can feel everyone around them, and they often know things and remember their past lives or remember even choosing their parents, or some of them have said they remember talking to God. I mean, it runs the gamut, and they tend to be natural little healers. They can see into the spirit realm and beyond, and they're just amazing children. On the other hand, because of these very fine energy fields, it also makes them very susceptible to problems as they start getting their vaccines, they start getting it out in the world. And so we're seeing a varying difference of symptomologies that are happening as a result of what we're doing with our children. You know, for instance, they're very sensitive, as I said, and they collect energy because it's constantly moving through their system. And they need to move around, just like when I was first learning and I got up and I started moving because I didn't know what else to do. Mm-hmm. What I realized is that these children move around a lot, talk a lot, whatever, and they're being diagnosed as ADD, ADHD, bipolar even. And the truth is they've got to do that in order to shake off the excess energy that they're carrying. They get uncomfortable. It's just part of who they are. But then we condemn them as some kind of a label, and in many cases they're forced to take drugs to make them sit still and be calm like previous generations. Well, they're not made that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so most of those drugs are also not tested or approved for pediatric care. They're made for adults and are actually causing psychiatric symptoms in a lot of the kids that are taking them. And that's just one way that this is hurting them. You know, the environments we keep them in, these children are very visually and aurally, meaning what they hear, sensitive. So you put them in a room where there's a lot of junk, stuff everywhere, posters on the walls, too much clutter, and or add sound to that, a lot of voices, a lot of music, a lot of different inputs. That is very uncomfortable for them because they're way more sensitive than we are. And so it causes them to be agitated or need to move around or even leave the area so they can shake off all of that overload.
Mm-hmm. In reading your book, what I understand, we are a structured society. For better or worse, we are a structured society. So what you're telling me is that the newer children that are born now has something different. It's almost like the first thing that hit my mind when I picked up your book was the X-Men movie.
Yeah, I love those movies.
Believe me, I mean, I say this respectfully. I meant it in a good way. We live on this sort of a conventional approach. We are a structured society. So if someone is a little bit different, then that child is not normal. Now, given it's true that there are some child that are not normal, but then not everyone falls in that same category. And that's what your book emphasized the most, is to really truly understand that there are children out there that are truly gifted that we are basically as a society are not prepared to accommodate these children, correct?
That's absolutely correct, and thank you for making that point, Johnny. It's very important in my heart. Here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that's different, because of religious dogma and connotations and societal belief systems, is considered to be not okay.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is the children are not broken. They're just differently abled. And I say it like that because, you know, we are living with some archaic values. At the same time, we have these high-frequency kids coming in. We have the greatest technology we've ever known on Earth. But the technology has outgrown our psychology. And we're being desensitized at a time where we have the most finest frequency children on ever. And we're desensitizing them a lot with the technology, with the video games that are so real, with special effects that are so real, with texting and social networking and that kind of thing. And yet, we expect them to follow value systems that are ancient, value systems that even we cannot follow because the world does not call for that. The world is working in very different ways than it did 100 years ago or even 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so we must evolve how we see each other and how we keep and maintain those interpersonal relationships. We must evolve with the evolution that we're creating technologically. And we must evolve our expectations and the way that we are bringing up our children, because they're far more intelligent than any other generation because of all the information that's available. And at the same time, they're more sensitive and intuitive than any other generation. So we've kind of got a double-edged sword going on here. And if we don't do something about it, we're going to do, because we already have in many children, we're going to do deep damage to this current generation.
I agree. I think a lot of times we as adults are just simply not aware of it because we are not living in the present moment. I think we ourselves are desensitized about being aware of the present moment versus the children today. All is in the present moment.
Exactly. That's quite right. And we're not in the present moment because we're being bombarded with real-time information about things all over the world, good, bad, and ugly, you know. And we don't even know how to process that because before we can, there's something else in our face.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, all of us are being desensitized. But with the children, as fine as they are, as fine in nature and as they are and as sensitive as they are, what's happening is many of them are internalizing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what to do with the depth of their feeling. They don't even understand that everything they're feeling isn't theirs. So they're taking full responsibility for all the things that they're feeling. And that can overwhelm a small child. That can overwhelm them to a point of depression, of complete internalization, to where as they get older, they start to create a fantasy world inside, and even to the point of suicide or mass murder, as we've seen in the news many, many times, children going to school with guns. And we're seeing it in our police forces as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the desensitization, we're seeing a lot of police officers shooting people, and a lot of questions are starting to have to be answered. And that is because psychologically, because of our technology, we're losing track of that interpersonal nature, that human being has value, and that dead is dead. It's hard. We don't know where the lines are anymore in many cases because we're being conditioned to something different. And because of that, everything's changing. And we can stop that. We can change that. But the way to do it is to, as I said, first get to know ourselves and the truth of our lives, and then to help our children on personal levels, take that time and stop. Do you know, I read one study that the average parent only spends 28 minutes a day with their children. 28 minutes a day.
That's too short a period of time. And not only that, I would even add to the point where that out of 28 minutes, probably only half of it is a true in the now, basically. Because the rest is sort of like multitasking. Yeah, I hear you, this, that, and you're not in the zone. You're not in the zone that you need to be in.
Exactly. You know, and expectations of adults are so much greater, you know, corporate jobs and pressures of success or even survival for many cases, that many parents are working more than one job or really long hours and they're just doing the best they can. So I'm not blaming them. What I'm saying is we need to change how we're going about this world. You know, another, for instance, is our school systems are in our country, in the U.S., are operating on a curriculum that's well over 100 years old. It was created in times where they were very Puritan values, and life was very simple, and it was more about surviving, growing your food, you know, and doing whatever you had to do to States survived.
Right.
And now we have so many conveniences and so many things, and we have the media always telling us why we need more and why we have to have certain things, and that gives us value. And pretty soon we lose track of who we are and where we meant to go. We're just like on a hamster wheel, and we don't know how to get off.
Mm-hmm.
And we miss what's happening with our children. Our children learn more by our example than they ever do with the word we say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we may think we're giving them quality information in a short time, but what they're really learning from and learning their values from is how they see us living.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to get back to that personal time with them. We've got to get back to that one-on-one, unplugged, so to speak, you know,
yeah.
And just have those close moments that create family, good, healthy, close families, and even with other people that create lifelong friendships and value of human nature and being.
So true. Let's focus on the bridge generation. One of the things that I think that will really make a big effect is if we as adults can find those traits that you were talking about in ourselves. As we understand from within, then we are simply going to be more aware of the children we're looking at or raising.
That's
so
a great point. Great point. And, you know, the bridge generation, like I said earlier, that's us. And
mm-hmm.
even the generation before us. It's those of us which is most people, have noticed, like you, they have some intuitive nature. I knew who was going to be on the phone when it rang, you know, I hear
mm-hmm.
people say,
mm-hmm.
or I caught something out of the corner of my eye, but I couldn't tell what it was, or I knew that was going to happen, I dreamed about it. Well, all of those are part of the same thing. And we kind of laugh about them and say, wow, I didn't know I could do that, but it was weird, and it doesn't happen all the time. And and yet, we are that. You know, the bottom line is, this is an evolution of human nature and ability. That means body, mind, spirit, everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's not religion, and it's not spirituality. It's being. It's human being.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so honest to God tired of the religious connotations that has nothing to do with any of this.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we need to do is be willing to realize that there are possibilities beyond the scope of our experience, because we cannot do anything until we know it's possible. And so just embracing that maybe something else is possible that I don't know about yet kind of opens the door for us to be able to start to embrace the true nature of ourselves. You know, it's not a should or a have to or a must. It just is. And so when we can do that and we can experience that and see the results of when we get into our true nature, how easy everything becomes, because we're not fighting. You know, we're not like salmon swimming upstream trying to make
yeah.
something work. Instead, we live in the natural flow right now, and we watch for the signposts. There, you know, things can be symbolically giving you information. They can be giving, you know, you might be having a thought about
mm-hmm.
something, and all of a sudden something comes in sideways and you just know something. That's your intuition. The
mm-hmm.
voice of creation is not some booming voice that is going to startle you and tell you what to do. Consciousness is a very sweet and subtle thing. And so it's about getting off of the hamster wheel and being still and listening to yourself and realizing what you need and what you actually do know, instead of trying to make it be something, live it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Well, you have to expand your scope of thinking in the first place, because if you don't think outside the box, then you are having sort of blinders on in a way. You're not able to really tune in to the answers that are all around you, basically.
Exactly. Exactly. Consider this. Maybe there is no box.
That's
and
right.
Maybe we just think we're limited.
Right.
Consider
yeah.
the possibility that there are no limitations, and there are things available to us that we have never considered before. Mm-hmm. And just leave it at that. It's
right.
Better to not create a picture of something, because then it can't be anything else.
Right, right. Well, we are structured. We live in a structured society. And mm-hmm. whether it's religious or just community as a whole, there are certain structure that's good, obviously, because if not, you have anarchy. But at the same time, when you talk about situations like this, about we as human beings, that process of evolution that we go through, and I talk about a process of refinement, because from the mm-hmm. day that you are born, your true personality, the innate you, the inner you never change, but you just go through a process of refinement as you experience life.
That's right. And you know, that was a really good point. I want to go back just 1 second. Uh-huh. Structure is good. We all thrive on it, and it's how we
yeah.
stay civilized.
Right.
But what I'm saying is the values that drive that structure are mm-hmm. are antiquated.
Right.
And at the same time, real life is not. It's moving way too fast.
Mm-hmm.
And so all I'm saying is let's change the values of the structure and the system so that it fits who we are now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. As we're born, we have all of that. We have everything. We have all of the knowledge of everything we've ever been or done, and the access to everything possible. But we're taught, do more, try harder, be better, get better grades, find your life purpose. And all of those things drive us to be something that we didn't start out to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where our so-called issues come from.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I say becoming intimately aware of your inner nature, who you are, what's your truth, what do you really want, and being able to speak that without being threatened is how we change that, how we get back to what we started. And that's perfectly, perfectly available to every one of us if we're willing to look at that. But
that's correct.
Many of us are too busy just trying to survive, like I said. But that's all it
yeah.
takes. Who
right.
am I and what do I want? When I
right.
interview my new students, I ask them, who are you and where? What are you trying to be?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you mean to be when you get there?
Mm-hmm.
And most people don't know that. They don't know because they're so stuck in the process of something. The problem is, with all those things that we were taught, we were given a roadmap without a destination. Nobody ever told us what success looked like. So we're out here floundering in the world, trying to keep up, trying to apply old values that some of them were good, you know, but there's a lot of them that can't work now. And we're conflicted inside. And so then we get into a whole other system of issues. And so it comes down to getting back to the personal level. You first, me first, then
mm-hmm.
everybody else. And do it deeply.
You are a well-traveled person, and you mentioned something very interesting. You talked about how one thinks about, I want this, I want that, and so forth. What can I do? I'm
mm-hmm.
sure you have encountered in different societies in the world where it's quite the opposite, where you don't want to do that. You will not be accepted for that. It's the other side of the equation where fear runs true in one's life. How does one overcome that?
By, you know, and in some cases, some places I've been, some of the third world countries,
mm-hmm.
it's really, really difficult because
mm-hmm.
their entire day is about surviving,
right.
what they're going to eat and where that's going to come from. But still, in all of that, it's about getting back to the interpersonal value. What we're seeing in the places that we're seeing is lack of value for other human beings. And so if we can change that attitude, we can certainly work towards changing the entire way our world interworks and doesn't. But what I will also tell you is that in most of those third world countries, no matter how hungry people are, how little they have, they're still working with their divine nature. We're hardwired for that. Our DNA teaches us way down deep to seek our own divinity. And people, even in those worlds, are doing that. You know, and what's really interesting is I've traveled around the world and I've spoken to so many people and so many indigenous people and
mm-hmm.
people in different cultures and belief systems. Everyone is saying the same thing. It's just with different words.
Right.
So if we can create an awareness of, hey, I can agree with you. I don't have to fight with you over this. We're all after the same thing. And I know that sounds like old hippie talk, but the truth is, it's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
If we can change our perceptions, our entire world can change. And for some of us, we don't work so hard at that because we have everything we need. In fact, we waste a lot of things. And we have no concept of what it's like to be somewhere else in the world and have none of it.
Right.
And so the our value systems are skewed. And they're not based on that interpersonal thing. They're based on stuff and achievements and accomplishments. And so, again, basically, we've got to get back to the personal nature of everyone.
So true. In the end, I'm sure you've encountered a lot of people. The common denominator is the essence of whether they're a child or an adult. They all are in pursuit of harmony.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And the question is, how distracted have we become and how have we lost sight of what harmony truly is?
Yeah. Yeah.
What
so
is
true.
Harmony to you might be something different to me. A lot of people put those expectations on other people, like in relationships. Somebody might be looking for harmony and looks for somebody that has the pieces they think they're missing. Well, that relationship will never work because that person
right.
doesn't have a clue. You know, so that self-awareness thing is really important when it comes to what is harmony really and what are we really looking for. It will save us a lot of pain if we figure that out.
So true. What are the categories and traits of these children of now?
Well, first of all, I don't like to label them. I did this for the matter of the book and so that I could say
right.
these different groups of kids have certain different traits.
Right.
We started with the indigos in the 1980s, like the mid-80s, and they were called that because somebody that can see like I do was able to realize that a certain set of kids had indigo-colored energy fields, their aura fields. And so after that, we had a kind of a period of time where the indigos weren't really coming in, and there were children coming in that were very sensitive, but they didn't know how to bring it out of themselves, and they didn't have some of the other abilities that later kids did. And I call those the transitional kids, and we still are having them, by the way, and they're the ones that are having such a hard time, and many of them doing some of the things we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And they need. We need to keep that communication going from the time that children are little, and don't let them internalize. Pull them out. Get them to talk and let them feel safe. That's the best thing to do early on. If you keep them from internalizing, you will avoid a lot of what's going on. Then the crystalline kids and the star kids started coming in the late 90s. And these all overlap time-wise, and there's not a specific year because it's an evolution. So you get a few, and then you get some more, and then all of a sudden you've got a lot of them. And the crystalline kids are all about loving ourselves and each other. They're all about social equanimity. They're natural healers. They understand energy innately. They're just amazing. And when they get to be about age 10 or 11, they start to act socially, starting food drives, collecting money for cancer research, all kinds of things. And they're very powerful leaders. You give a crystalline kid something to do and some people to manage, and they'll have it done exquisitely in no time at all. The star kids are around the same time period, and all of these, by the way, are still coming. Star kids are more all about the planet and the animals and technology. And they want to invent things that help us live on our Earth more cleanly and how to take care of our planet better. They're very concerned about it because they can actually feel the planet. And so when you put these two together in another 10 or 20 years, you're going to see a very different world, because they're a perfect, perfect match of traits. And they're so powerful and significant that I feel like they're going to change the world beyond measure. And then there are a few smaller categories of the children, what I call the beautiful silent ones, that are physically disabled, where most of them were actually born normal. And then something happened a short time later, whether it was vaccines or an illness or something else, that caused them to not be able to function in their physical bodies properly, if at all. And these kids are extremely telepathic, and being around them is like being in pure love, just bathed in it. And they're beautiful, beautiful. And the last one, really the most current one, I'm calling the Children of Light, because when the crystalline kids first started coming in, their energy fields worked like searchlights. They waved back and forth, and they were jewel tones of blues and burgundies and forest green and deep gold and that kind of thing. And they were picking up information, looking for information. And then over the last years, those fields became lighter and lighter. And so we have different names for the same kids. A lot of people call them rainbow kids or dolphin kids. They're all crystalline kids, a whole bunch of them. What's happened is it's just people have started noticing them in different parts of the evolution to now, where many are being born with completely white fields, and those are the ones I call the Children of Light. I don't know what they're capable of. They're so brand new, just within the last couple of years. It's a little early to tell what their perceptions and their abilities are. But it's a very fast evolution energetically. And at the same time that we evolve consciously, so does intelligence. So it's going to be an interesting time for the next decades.
What can parents do, first and foremost, to identify these children? And obviously the next thing would be, what can they do to help these children thrive and succeed?
Thanks. You know, I made it easy. In my first book, The Children of Now, and on my website on the homepage, there are long lists of the traits of these kids. And on my website on the homepage, there are two links. One, is your child a crystalline, or is your child a star child? And you can look on there and you can see, you know, they don't have to have all of those characteristics to fit. But most importantly, I don't want you to have a label on your child. I just want you to know that your child is actually new normal, old. And so awareness is everything. So the Children of Now Evolution, the book that we are meant to talk about today, it's got all the answers that I got questions over the years. I was able to research and deeply answer questions to a much bigger phenomenon. It's not just about a few magical kids. It's about all children. And, you know, it covers autism and Asperger's and vaccines and GMOs. And I presented both sides and a lot of good links and suggested reading. And if you first, as a parent, make yourself aware, second of all, your child's not broken. They're differently abled. And you're not alone either, ever. And so what I say is, stand up for your children. Don't let people bullying you into doing something you would have never otherwise done, like put drugs in your kid or whatever our society is forcing on you. Stand up and be counted and saying, no, thank you. I have a different approach, and this is what I'm going to do with my child. And I don't mean, you know, don't work with society. What I'm saying is, we have to give society a different message. And so knowing that we are in charge of our children goes a long way. But most of all, love them well.
So true.
Love them deeply, yeah.
Those information are just wonderful, and I have to tell everyone, this book, The Children of Now Evolution, has tons of information that will help you understand your child and also give you parenting ideas It is an informative book. It's a wonderful reference book that will tell you what you're dealing with and how to seek help. Mm-hmm. Most importantly, it will educate you about your child and what the future can be.
Thanks, Johnny. That was exactly my intention. It's kind of like a handbook of everything everyone's mm-hmm. ever asked me that was really important. And it's not some woo-woo weird book. It's a really good, hard-hitting, fact-driven set of answers for you. And I like to say this isn't a new book. It's a wake-up call. So the best thing that you can do is if you know someone who has children like this, and almost everyone does at this in this now,
yeah, right.
Give them the book. You can get it in any bookstore. Amazon has it pretty cheap right now. They're running a lot of their specials. And if your bookstore doesn't have it, just ask them for the Children of Now Evolution, and they can look it up and they can have it there for you within a few days. Or you can go to my website at www.spiritlite.com, and you can read more about it there.
Wonderful. The book also shows the research you have done, and you have followed several children over the years as well.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah, I have followed many of the kids, and the first book talked about four specific kids who were the first ones to connect with me on really strange levels, and so I kind of gave an update in the book about those kids because it was really important for people to see what had happened over time. They're all so dear to me, and they're doing, some of them are thriving because they had parents that were able to do that for them. Others not so much, and so anyway, it's really important that we keep up with these kids and get them what they need.
Fantastic. Please repeat your website again.
Thank you, Johnny. It's spiritlite.com. That's my main website, spiritlite.com. And if you're interested in the Touching the Light healing work that I do, so you can work with people too, I have a website called touchingthelight.org. That's LIGHT on that one, touchingthelight.org. And I'm starting to register for next year already. This is our fourth year in a certification course that allows you to go out and do this work and do it well and learn a lot about yourself at the same time.
Fantastic. We're coming close to the end of the hour. Since our show is about people, family, and living life, would you like to share a recipe for living with our listeners this morning?
Sure, Johnny. You know, be truthful with yourself, and in doing so, then you can learn to be honest with everyone else. When you do, you find peace. That's what everyone wants. We want inner peace. And so when our inside begins to reflect on our outside, we know we've done it. And we've done it by staying present, being honest, and knowing ourselves intimately. That's the key to everything. After that, everything happens all by itself in a very beautiful way because we stayed out of the way.
That's a beautiful recipe for living. Dr. Mack, thank you so much for that and for spending this hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. To all our listeners, thank you for being with us. Please join me next Tuesday morning. My guest will be Dr. Jody Gold. She is the author of the newly released book titled Screen Smart Parenting, How to Find Balance and Benefit in Your Child's Use of Social Media, Apps, and Digital Devices. Dr. Jody and I will be discussing how educators and parents can manage the digital technology children and adolescents are currently exposed to. For additional information about this show and future shows, please go to fmmktalkradio.com. Thank you for listening and have a blessed week. Dr. Mack, it has been a pleasure. Thank you again and have a blessed day.
Thanks, Johnny, and thanks to all of you who are listening. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.